Message, M.O.29, The Workings of the Demoniac Kingdom. A word given by Cecil J. Duseil, 29th of January, 1971.
Praise God. Tonight I think God is speaking a very, very important subject to us, which is the workings of the demoniac kingdom. It's not a good subject to talk for too long, but sometimes we have got to know what the enemy is doing. And sometimes we feel pains and sicknesses and we don't know it's the devil. We say, well, it's natural, you see. It's just natural. It's natural you have a pain. But it's such a strange thing that Jesus should say a thing like this, what he said in Matthew chapter 13, which I didn't have on my schedule. That's another word that gives me trouble, but I got it. Let's turn to Matthew 13 then, since that is what the Lord says. Matthew 13, Jesus speaking of the parable of the sower and giving the explanation of this parable in verse 19, he said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catch it away, that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. Now, isn't it peculiar that God should say, Jesus should say, that when you hear the word and you don't understand it, then comes the devil? Why didn't he come before? He could not touch that word until you rejected it. The people who receive the word of God must make sure under what spirit they receive it and in what condition and circumstance. Because when the devil comes, he will catch it away if you didn't hold it. But if you hold it, he can do nothing. And this is a basic principle in the workings of the devil. He comes upon those who have something within themselves that is belonging to him. For instance, doubt, God never made doubt. Fear, God never made fear. Misunderstanding, God never made misunderstanding. As I told you, this morning, understanding goes by anointing. And the more powerful the angel of God or the messenger of God is the less words he speaks. He comes before you and he overshadows you with understanding. So that when you are in a meeting that has a great anointing, you know that there is the anointing by the understanding. If your understanding is not fruitful, then there is no anointing either in the meeting or probably on you. Or if you have the opposite of anointing, which is demonic oppression, then your oppression might be so great that the anointing is not great enough to break through the oppression that is upon you. Therefore, this is the reason we encourage the ministers of God to spend time with God in prayer and in fasting, that they might receive the anointing necessary to break the yoke of men and women who are bound by this demonic, the satanic, diabolical devil. Amen. Because God has put us in a field of warfare, and he opens wide the door of heaven, said, take what equipment you want to fight with. And we, like children, play around the door and never touch the equipment. I'll never forget an experience I had. One night, I prayed for a woman who was possessed by a real terrible demon spirit. And the woman was not delivered. And I was burdened. And I went home to God and said, God, what is wrong? Why have I... Now, in those days, you know, if I prayed for somebody and the person wasn't delivered, I wouldn't sleep or eat till that person is delivered. It would be certainly two deaths, because I would just lie down on God until, because of course I would never say something is wrong with the person who is sick and want deliverance. I would generally say something is wrong with me. And so I went to God and began to cry before God as to what is wrong with me. What have I not done? Or what have I done wrong? Why the anointing was not great enough to have broken the yoke of the woman, when I felt in those days that I was supposed to have power over every power that is in hell. And as I was there praying, I went into a vision. And I saw one of these demons. I call it a pokomania demon. It's a Jamaican word which means little madness. And it's some people who worship the devil, who dance around like this and dance around all night, and they will jump and grunt like a hog all night, and they wrap their heads. Well, I saw one of these, and I knew it was a demon, so I rebuked this thing, and I grabbed a hold of her and began to rebuke her, and she just looked in my face and laughed me to scorn. And when I said, in the name of Jesus, she said, in the name of Jesus. And when I said, the blood is on you, she said, the blood is on you. And brother, I couldn't get anywhere with her until I started to think in myself that probably I should get away from this thing, because I had my hand in her collar and she had her hand in my collar. And I held her down on the ground and she held me the same. Now, I kept on rebuking and rebuking, and she just laughed me to scorn. And she said, you will never overcome me. I said, why? She said, you don't have what it takes. So I said, what does it take? She's bolting at me, laughing at me. She said, you don't have the discernment even to discern what spirit I am. Amen. And so I said, okay. And I disengaged from her. And I ran off to get this discernment. It's a vision now. So I began to run to the store to get this discernment, as if it were selling at the store and I could go there and buy. But when I reached the store, the door was halfway open and I ran past the store. Anyhow, I turned back eventually and went to the store, and this guy was pretty well cut up, he said. Well, he had been there waiting for me a long time and he wanted to close up and I wouldn't come. Anyhow, he gave me 7 knives, looking like 7 bread knives, you know, the knives that you take to cut bread. 7 knives, you hold them backwards like this and cut the dough. He gave me 7 knives and a belt. And I put on this belt and these knives and I ran back to this woman. Amen. And when I grabbed her again the second time now, suddenly One of the knives must have told me that she's an unclean spirit. And I just said, you unclean spirit, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. And she began to melt in my hand. And she just melted off. And believe it, when I got up from that vision, I went to this place where we should pray for this woman, rebuke the devil from her, and she was delivered. But it was showing me that we need certain gifts of discernment. We need many gifts of the Spirit, and we need an anointing to enter into battle with this enemy who is 6,000 years old. In experience, not old in age, but old in human experience. And I don't want to frighten anybody tonight. If you're going to be frightened, you just say a big amen and let me stop. But we have learned from spirits that spirits learn from us. Amen. They keep fooling around you, and all they want to get from you is knowledge of how you work. And they want to know how you operate, and they study your mind, they study your actions, they study you, and they anticipate you, and they hit you where they think it is weakest. Amen. So most of the things that we do inadvertently without our wanting to do it, some things that are forcing us into things, and we feel an impelling force causing us to do or not to do, or to be even lazy, even sleepiness in the midst of the time when we're not to sleep, sleeplessness, are all lying spirits working upon us to bring us down and to stop us. Many of us are paying great sums to the doctor because we don't believe God. We are paying the doctor to arrest the working of a spirit. Amen. So, I'm sure Dr. Lynn wouldn't mind my calling his name. He's one of our brothers. He said to me, if you can tell me why, if you can answer one question for me, I will believe fully that demon spirits cause sicknesses. He said, when a person comes to me and is sick with a disease or something, I discern by examination what's wrong with the person, and I will give that person a medication, and often the medication arrests the sickness and the person is delivered. He said, on another occasion, a person will come to me and I will put that person under the operation, and I will perform surgery upon that person and cut certain things out, and I will deliver that person from that sickness. Now he said, tell me, am I able to stop a demon spirit by drugs, or to stop him by surgery? Right away, God came and gave me the answer. I said to him, spirits study the human body, and they know what part of the human body to disrupt in order that it might create a malfunction. Amen. I said that when you appeal to God, God correct that God moves the demon spirit and the function of the body becomes normal. Therefore, if I grab this brother's hand and hold his blood vessel or his nerve center, the natural thing that will happen is that the hand will be cramped after a while. And if I continue to hold it, put a tight band around it for a few days, pain will shut up the arm and that hand will eventually wither and die. Because I did something that was natural to a natural body and prevented its function. Then therefore, what the enemy does to us, he studies the body and he either tempts you to do things to your body, like cigarettes for instance. It's a help to him. He tempts you to use as much cigarette as you can. And he wants to get as much nicotine into you. He wants to blacken the whole of your alimentary canal and blacken your lungs like a whole chimney so that he might disrupt the function of your body. He does this on a wide scale, and he will use every means to oppress your mind, to possess your body, to destroy your flesh in order to get at your soul and to bend you into his way and to get into you. The first operation or working of any spirit is from without. Spirits don't first start working within you. They start working outside of you. And they work outside of you just as the Holy Ghost, his first operation is from outside of you. He stays outside of you and he puts the blood in you. The blood of Jesus Christ is applied by the Spirit of God. The second work he does in you, he comes into you after you have consented. That's why some people cannot receive the Holy Ghost, because they don't relax enough and consent enough and desire him enough. Amen. And if you desire the Holy Ghost, you will receive him if you have the blood. For the blood has done the first work. This is a law of God. It is the way God works, and it is the way all spirits work. They tempt you. The devils tempt. God encourages. God preach a message to you. Let me in. He's knocking at the door. That's how he preaches. He appeals to you. He pleads with you. But the demon spirit tempts you. And when the demon spirit tempts you, he never tempts you to let you know that he is coming in, but he let you have desires for other things which he will incorporate himself in. And so when you take something and you think you are taking that, you are taking a demon spirit. For the Bible said, whatever spirit you obey, that's his servants ye are. So you become the servant of a spirit without knowing. There are manipulating spirits that manipulate people up and down. Oh, the spirit would say, quick, get up, jump up. Jump up. Go and repeat the 23rd Psalm. You jump up in the middle of the night, run around, repeat the 23rd Psalm. He'll tell you some little foolish things to do. He will tell you to clean your teeth. He'll tell you to have a bath. He'll tell you to jump. And all he's doing is practicing how to manipulate you. The devil doesn't care what he tells you to do. While you do it, you are a servant. Throw a stone behind you. Amen. Foolish little things the devil tells people to do. But he wants to manipulate you. It's like you get a new piece of machinery, and before you get conversant with the mechanism, you begin to try it out. See, when you press this, what happens? And you press that, and you practice with it. And this is what the devil does, and as soon as you become his servant, he enters into you. You didn't know you were bargaining for emphysema or for some kind of disease or sickness. You didn't bargain for that. But that's what he brings to you, because when he comes, he's going to suck the life out of you. When he begins to suck your life, then he has got you covered. This is the reason we read this morning in Isaiah chapter 14 that all the other kings of the earth possess their houses, but this one, he destroys his houses. Everybody who the devil occupies, he kills them. He destroyed them. That's what he's doing. He's eating mankind. He's sucking the life and the energy out of people. And when you are rid of him, you have more energy and you feel much better. Amen. Praise God. I'm thanking God that it's not everybody who has a devil in them. These devils go preaching, telling everybody that all of us have our devil. We don't have any. Don't admit it. Don't accept it. Reject it. It must go if it is there. Amen. We don't have any devil, and don't believe it. If you find that you are schizophrenic, you are doing things that you don't want to do, you have another personality working in you, kick him out. Amen. It's as simple as all that. You hate it, you don't want it, get it out. You are the boss of you. Let us understand what we're talking about. Not about anything that has power over man, that man has no recourse. If we didn't have any recourse, we couldn't preach it. Amen. We'll be preaching defeat. What we are preaching is victory through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. By the blood of Jesus Christ, I say go, and you must go. The people who smoke and drink and can't help themselves, they don't want to stop, because they can rebuke the devil now and he goes. Just go, as easy as that. I have rebuked several devils. I can rebuke a devil from a man who doesn't want to stop. Let go his devil and kick the devil out of him, and the devil goes out of him and he feels lonely and go back and call the devil and say, come back to me. That's why we don't go about rebuking devils out of people until we minister to them life. Don't rebuke. You will see the devil. Don't go wrong. Be a rebuker, a caster outer. Don't go about flinging, licking the devil out of people. Just keep quiet until you can minister life to the people, and then you speak to that devil firmly. Firmly, get out. He must go, and he will go. Very often he threatens that he will come back, but there are things that you can do with a devil that you couldn't do with a man. You can cast him into the pit, bottomless pit, put him off on a frequency that he never comes back. And he doesn't like that. And if he knows you're going to do that, he is not going to fool with you. Amen. Sometime when one devil goes, another one comes to make you believe that you still have the devil. Then you accept him back. You say, I wasn't healed. You deny your healing and you get back to him. Seven devils worse than the one you have. Amen. And this is the understanding here. Now let us turn our Bibles a little bit round to Luke chapter 4. And we see here, let us study the workings of this great tempter with Jesus. And if he could do Jesus that, you can imagine. You can imagine what he's doing with some other people. Amen. And Jesus, verse 1, we begin with Luke 4. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when he did eat, and when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. Now for 40 days he was tempted of the devil. For 40 days Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil. And to be tempted when you are fasting is terrible. I have known men who have fallen down in their fast and taken a demon spirit during a fast. And that is the reason we say to you, brethren, don't get up going fasting while fast unless you know what you're doing. God expects you to fast, but he doesn't expect the devil to tempt you into a fast. If it's not God, you better know what you're doing. Because the devil is going to tempt you during your fast. I have seen a man got so wild in his fast that he almost committed rape in a fast. People had to run down on him and hold him in the middle of his fast. Amen. He was a deacon in my church. And he was fasting 7 days, and in the middle of the fast, all of a sudden he just got berserk and wild. And he wasn't mentally affected. We know the demons of lust just came down on him and decided to take charge of him. When the people who worship the devil that I know in my country, they go on long fasts to get power. Mm-hmm. And they really get more power. And they are worshiping the devil. So fast doesn't necessarily mean God. But if God would put you on a fast, then you need to fast. I have never known young Christians who grow without fasting. you just can't make the grade without fasting, because fasting cuts down the flesh and prayer builds up the spirit. So you are doing a double job when you fast and pray, but it must be directed of God and it must be ordained of God. And very often it's good to be fasting with the church standing with you, the body being with you. So wild fasts, I can remember an evangelist I know, he went on a long fast and he fasted for some 60 or 70 days, and during the time he almost committed suicide. An evangelist you know too, I won't call his name, almost committed suicide in the fast, and if he had a gun, he said, he would have shot himself, because he saw some destruction coming on the United States in the fast. And he saw the details of the destruction, women torn apart and children, dead bodies all over the street. And he lost his nerves. The devil took charge of him. I say, brethren, we have got to know what we're doing. Well, Jesus Christ was in this fast, and he was being tempted of the devil for 40 days. But I want you to notice one thing here. And when they were ended, he afterwards hungered. Jesus fasted for 40 days, but he was not hungry. When the fast was ended, he was hungry. I have fasted both types of fasts. Fasts where hunger tear at my entrails. And fasts where I am not hungry. I remember fasting for 40 days, but I wasn't hungry. I just wanted to die. I got pneumonia. Pneumonia hit me and I began to pass blood and cough, and I said, God, if you don't want me around, let me die. So I stopped eating. And I didn't eat for 40 days or drank any water. And during the time, God came to me every day and would tell me how I am getting on with this sickness. But it seems he just wanted me down there, and I was down there. And praise be to God, I overcame the sickness after the 40 days. But I wasn't hungry until the time was over. Amen. So this is what happened to Jesus. Now that he was hungry, his soul desired something. This is what I had been saying to you, that your soulish realm definitely has to be sanctified before you are fit as a soldier of God. You see, if you have any desires that the devil can use, he's going to use your desires to wreck your whole life. So your desires have to be sanctified, and your mind has to be sanctified, for your mind will run off and think this mind is the eagle, you know. The mind will run off and think ahead of you. Amen. It was like the day I asked God to sanctify me. God said I must be sanctified, and I asked him to do it. And God showed me some things that my mind was thinking, which I didn't know about. I sat down there and I saw girls coming in to the farm, and I was there at the typewriter, and I had stopped typing without knowing, and I was admiring all the girls going up the path, and I didn't know. If anybody had told me that I did those things, I wouldn't believe it. But I was doing it. And God called me. He said, you are unclean in your mind. Amen. If I were looking at them and saying, well, I hope they will be saved, or thinking of something pertaining to God, it would be a different thing. But I was thinking of them, you know, in the way of young men thinking of women. This one would make a good wife, and that one, oh, she would be terrible. And all that sort of thing. That's the type of way my mind was thinking. And such a mind, therefore, is not fit to go on the gospel field. No. You see, these desires wreck you after you get in battle with the devil. For the devil can only hit you where you have something for him. Amen. Now, Satan couldn't find anything in Jesus, but he found out that Jesus was hungry. He doesn't take much to find out that a man is hungry. His lips must have been dry and his throat parched, and he looked hungry. Yeah. Oh boy, I tell you, when I got up out of that 40 days and looked at myself, I didn't believe it. The first thing, I was shocked. My eyes were gone down in a hole, and it was bare skin. I could not recognize myself when I looked in that mirror. Well, there it was. Jesus had a desire in his soul for food. Just a natural, common, ordinary desire for food. And the devil said, I'm going to use it. He said, make stones into bread. Stones out there, make into bread. Now, obedience of the slightest suggestion from the devil, immediately Jesus would have put himself under the rulership of the devil. Amen. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. Amen. Remember, I told you of the experience, it was rather humorous, of my getting so hungry in a fast that I felt like tearing down the bush from a tree and stuffing it into my mouth. And I fought the impulse, and as I moved off, I saw a calf and the desire to grab him and bite him. In my mouth actually watered over the living calf feeding at my door. And I believe the devil set the calf right there. You know, what a thing it would be for me to, it would be like being possessed to grab that calf and bite the calf. But that was the impulse, a sudden strong impulse came over me. And I can understand what happened here. Satan said, you are the Son of God. Your stone here, maybe the stone he was sitting down on. He said, just speak the word and it would become a whole big loaf of bread. Dive down into it. And you can imagine what a defeat it would be to see the Son of God tearing a piece of bread in terrible 40 days hunger. And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by carnal, natural bread alone, but by every word of God. My God. Hallelujah. And so he knocked him off for the time being. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now Jesus was in the wilderness, and I don't believe he left where he was sitting. I believe what happened is that in the mountain of the spirit, that's where he went up in the spirit, and Satan showed him in the spirit all the kingdoms of the world. Brother, don't believe that Satan showed Jesus Christ palaces and gold and silver. That didn't interest him. Satan knew it. But Satan knew that Jesus had one great soulish desire. And that is to rule and be king over the throne of David. You are the throne of David. Therefore, Satan took him up and showed him the hearts of men and the longing multitudes. Amen. And the great vast number of people dying for life and deliverance. This is the area. You see, we have seen so many men falling up there in the mountain. They don't fall in the plains so much, but we have seen so many falling up in the mountains. Amen. In the mountain of his power, in the mountain of victory, falling down. This is where Satan took Jesus, showed him the kingdoms of the world and all the glory thereof. Did he say that? Yes. showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Well, somewhere it is written that he showed him the glory. Verse 6. Yes. And the devil said unto him, all this power, not material, not gold, not silver, not palaces, not land, but power. He said, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. Did you notice that phrase before? Satan is saying that you are delivered to him, that you belong to him, and he will give Jesus all this power, all mankind, if, of course, the condition didn't come yet, and whomsoever I will give, if thou therefore will worship me, all shall be thine. Now Satan seemed to have a very, very exalted idea of himself. My God, I feel that if he brings that to any one of us here, we would reject him. I mean, that's the way I feel. Much the more. But you see, he's blind in his egotistic exaltation. He's gone crazy. He's going to offer God, Jesus, the Son of God, all the glory of mankind and the world, if Jesus would worship him. Now, isn't that very low down, stupid at that? He couldn't bring that to me. I mean, I'll speak that without any compunction. I don't think there's one of us here who would willingly worship the devil. Not one sensible human being. People worship the devil, but the devil deceived them. And those people who worship the devil are worshiping him under deception. But if they knew God, they wouldn't worship the devil. And Jesus knew God. So Satan is gone crazy with power. He said to worship him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. This get thee behind me, Satan, was exactly what I'm saying. Saying you're an idiot. I think that's exactly what you say. You're crazy. Amen. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. So many of us get hurt this way. We feel that because we are sons of God, there are certain things we can do. We can do anything. I knew of a lady who felt that she is a son of God, and the church gathered around her car, lay hands on it and blessed it. And because her car is blessed, she can drive through any red light. And one night she invited a sister of mine to go to service with her. And the sister said it was the wildest night she ever had. She said the lady just talked in tongues and pressed the gas. And, well, I tell you, it's a fearful thing to be in a car with somebody talking in tongues and pressing the gas. I really had that experience recently. Talking in tongues and... And I tell you, it's not a sweet feeling. You got to do some real talking in tongues when you see that happening. And this sister tell me she really prayed. She said she really prayed to God. She said, God, take me home safely. She said, forgive me of all my sins. And this... The sister got her really to repent. Well, yeah, man. She got her to repent, but she said she just barely missed it. And she went home that night. And boy, she thanked God. She really praised God. Bringing her home alive. She tried to minister to the sister. She said, oh no. She said, nothing's happening. I've been driving like this and nothing happened. She said, God's business requires haste and so on. I don't have to obey the laws of this land and all that sort of thing. And boy, she was off. But this is a kind of spirit. Well, a month after that, you know what happened. Well, she didn't have to suffer. She just went home to glory. But this is the kind of spirit that some of us might not use it in the car, yes. But we have that spirit in our operations. We get wanton and careless, and we say, God will take care of us. Oh, we are sons of God. Brethren, you'll go home as easy as anything. You better be careful. I believe after I've done all, then God will do the rest. Because here is the very temptation that Satan brought to Jesus. He'll bring it to you. He said, if you are the Son of God, just jump off the temple and then you just float right down before everybody, magnificently floating down. And God Almighty knows, he said, he'll give his angels charge concerning thee, lest thou should dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. For years I didn't understand what he really said. But it's very simple. He's saying to you, Trevor, don't tempt God. That's all. He said, when you do something deliberately like that, you are only tempting God to take you home. Amen. Praise God. We turn our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Praise God. I'm going to give you a little short circuit here. Before I read Ephesians 6, which is the conclusion, let me read a few scriptures here for you, showing you some of the work that the spirits do in our lives. We have here Satan permitted to afflict the righteous. And that is in Job 1 and 12. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thine hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. And you know what happened to Job. This is a case of God being absolutely pleased with the fortitude of a man, and Satan wanting a lesson. Wanting a lesson. God want to teach Satan a lesson about man. That man is not trash. That man is not just a weakling that he can kick up and down as he likes. That man will stand up to him in his weakness. Amen. Now when you stand up to a man in your strength, there's no problem. But when you are weak and you still stand up, this is what Satan cannot understand. So God was willing to use Job to manifest God. That was a very honorable position. God used Job to manifest God to the devil. Amen. And we, the sons of God, who are talking about being of the 144,000 group, the woman is going to have to show a lot of fortitude in battle, in standing up, in being worthy before she bring forth that man child. And this is what God is bringing us into at this time. The sinners are under the dominion of the devil. And we can get them out. We find this in Acts 26 and 18. To open their eyes, it says, and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, this is showing that the sinners are under the power of the devil, and that we, the Christians, are not under the power of the devil, but that we work by another power, and we are under the power of the Lord. Therefore, we are in a position to help the sinners who are taken by the devil. He binds the minds of unbelievers. I'm just reading this as it is here. 2 Corinthians 4 and 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. So misunderstanding and lack of understanding is caused by the action of the devil. He fights the saints, and there's a war going on. We will come to that when we get to Ephesians. He inspires lying wonders. Some of us have seen many miracles being worked by people who are not living righteous. And it really baffles some of us. But I have come out of the stage of being baffled by the miracle workers of our time. For Jesus told me that in the last days there would be men working miracles and lying wonders, and if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. And there are some men who can live in any old sin. When I say any old sin, I don't want to call names, but I mean any old wretched, dirty sin. And they can walk out of the sin and take their filthy hands and lay it on you and whoop, miracle. I mean, I'm talking about men I've known and do know. I'm not talking about everybody now. But this is the kind of thing we have seen going on for a while and we wonder. Some of the clean men don't get those miracles worked. But I understand it is a very simple thing with the devil. If the devil wants to impress people for any special man, he oppresses a person and he withdraws his oppression for his man's sake. Amen. And so the same devil that oppresses has the power to withdraw his oppression. In dealing with evil spirits, we heard that there were some who traveled from one body to another. One demon would have two or three bodies. He occupies this from 12 to 1. He occupies the other from 1 to 2. He occupies the other from 2 to 3, and he makes his rounds. So this is the reason why some people are crazy at certain times. And at other times they are just sober. Because the demon spirit is using them in relays. Amen. He comes out and goes in and he visits his friends around and he comes back to dinner. So let's go on. And inspires lying wonders, 2 Thessalonians 2:9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Hallelujah. He tempts to disobedience. He slanders the saints, as in the case of Job. He inflicts diseases. We find in Job 2:7. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot onto his crown. You notice what he hit him with? Boils. Now, it could be very simple for you to say, well, boils is a natural sickness. Amen? If Job was in our time, you'd be rushing to the doctors. You'd be paying a lot of money to the doctors. Amen. But Satan had oppressed Job with boils without possessing him. Did you hear that? What Satan wanted to do was to possess him. And probably if he could possess him, he would not oppress him in that sense. But he was oppressing him because he couldn't get to possess him, and he decided to lash him with boils. Praise God. He opposes the righteous. He tempts Christ. He removes the good seed, as we showed you. He sows the tares, wicked thoughts in the heart. He ruins soul and body. Let's read that, Luke 9:42. As he was yet a coming, the devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Devil is a lying spirit. John 8 and 44. I have heard some people using this scripture against the word of God. John 8 and 44. Let's read it. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is a liar and the father of lies, and he was a murderer from the beginning. The beginning of what? The beginning of who? The beginning of Satan. Not the beginning of Lucifer. Lucifer was never a liar. God Almighty said he was pure. He was perfect. That's what the Bible said. Lucifer was perfect, but Lucifer made himself into a devil. And from the time he made himself into a devil, which was the beginning of Satan, if you notice they use the word here, Satan, the beginning of Satan, he was a liar from the beginning. It is the devil that instigates men to sin. We find it in John 13 and 2. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. Many more scriptures, but we leave it at that. Praying upon men, he feeds upon men. 1 Peter 5 and 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Praise God. He feeds upon men. Praise be to God. Now turn to Ephesians. Six and verse 10. Finally, and this is the end of the message. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The key word in verse 11 is the word whole. The whole armor. For many of us put on part of the armor, and brother, you are just part good. The very part that is exposed is the part where you will get the blow, fatal blow. Therefore, without the whole armor, you are not clothed. If you have part of the armor, you are in as much danger as if you had none at all. For the devil will hit you anyhow. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. When we wrestle against flesh and blood, it is even possible to have on part of the armor and survive. When we wrestle against flesh and blood, we wrestle against beings that are finite and limited in their scope and in many things. But when we wrestle against the devil, we wrestle against a higher intelligence, a less limited being. In other words, he is much, much far above us, spiritually speaking, as a spirit, and we are flesh. He is above us in his intelligence. is above us in the power of his understanding. We can beat him by one means, and it's by putting on the armor of God that God has given us in faith, and against principalities and powers. This suggests we are not only fighting a being called Satan, but we are fighting princes of the devil, high beings that dwelt within the realms of God some years ago, who have the power and the knowledge and the strength of how to attack and to fight and to battle us and to hurt us. We are dealing with princes, not just ordinary foot soldiers. This answers your question today, whether that these some fallen angels were in some deeper part of hell than the others. But these principalities are here. They are in our realm and able to reach us and hurt us, except for one reason. God has angel bands counteracting them. Angels as powerful and more powerful than they are, stopping them. Amen. And this is the game that is played around us every day and every night. Amen. Against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You hear where they rule? They are rulers, but they are rulers of the darkness of this world. Brethren, if you have any of the darkness in you, you have the kingdom of the devil in you, and he will rule in you through that which you have in you, which is of him. That's why I say, to get away from the devil, the best thing to do is crop all your ideas, your desires. Cut them down to basics. Cut down your desires to basics. Don't desire the goods of the world. I want you to notice what happens. The very art of window dressing. I don't know if there we have any interior decorators or exterior decorators here, but the art of decorating is to catch the eye. Amen. You are going to catch the eye of a roving person or a roving eye that is looking for something beautiful, something that looks exquisite. And you, the very way you put the folds on the dress that you put in that showcase, the way you turn it, the decorator said, turn it a little more. And he wants to give a certain feeling. He gets the hair and he fusses it up, and he said, no, fix it the other way. He wants to give a dashing look. Amen. And the person who comes down the street unsuspecting, amen, there's a demon waiting in the show window for you to catch your eye. You don't know why you like certain things. You don't know why you like certain clothes. You don't know why you behave certain way. Amen. The boys like the slim pants, and they like to put on a white shoe with that slim pant and so on, so on, to look a certain way, look a slim look. And you see them walking down the street, they have a slim walk. Spirit is the spirit they catch out of the show window, which came from Paris and Hollywood. And they get that spirit. You look at the television, the screen, the pictures they show on the screen, and every dress, every figure on that stage, on that screen, was deliberately well prepared and positioned. And if an actor acts the part good and he turns a wrong way at the time, they make him do it right over till they get him the right way with the right spirit to catch you. He's projecting something to you. Amen. Bless God. Therefore, we got the mud look. I don't know if I'm saying it right. But we get the mud look. And we get the other look like a person crazy. Pull up the hair. One day I see a lady combing her hair. She was uncombing it. She was lifting it up and and I looked at her and she saw the surprise in my face and she said, she made a remark, you know, and we laughed. But she was really uncombing it to give a look of wild, and it's a spirit look.
Amen.
Yeah. It's a look of a spirit that is ravished. And a woman goes on the street and look ravished, and to the man who has that spirit, it attracts him. And this is when you talk about hair, that's what you're talking about, you see. And the various stages of demonic work come through spirits being projected. Spirit being projected. You go to church and you expect to see a spirit of holiness. Therefore, the man puts on a long black robe. And he's coming up to the altar, and he... Yes! He was taught that in seminary.
Amen.
Amen. He was taught how to walk in seminary.
Amen.
He was taught how to make his voice sung.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
The Lord. And he was taught how to speak. Oh, my sister, my brother. And he was taught how to speak. It is all psychology and a demon spirit that has been working through the children of disobedience to bring forth in the earth a lie. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. From the moment you get out on the street in the morning, you are wrestling demons till you get back home.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You are wrestling them at your workplace. They are trying to make incursions upon you.
Amen.
Amen. You are wrestling them right back to your doorstep. And blessed be the God, blessed be the man who has a home, that when he enters the home, he gets the glory of God to bless his soul after a day's fight with the devil. Amen. You know, I always say, sometimes people bring their problems to me, and the host is upset. I can't get the children praying. I can't get nothing. You know, the devil seemed to be in the house. I said, sister, switch on a tape. Switch on a tape with praises of God. Switch on music and let it get them so sick. Let them be so sick of that music that they would want to even throw the record outside. But keep it going. And in their quiet moments, they'll find themselves humming that very song. Yes. The world is brainwashing us. The world is brainwashing us without our knowing. Amen. I remember having an office, and they put up a jukebox on the other side, and a boom, 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 all day. I hate the thing more than I hate anything else. And when I go home in the evening, I am singing the boom, boom song. Yeah. Brainwash me. I had been brainwashed. without knowing it, the very thing you hate, and that's a part of their psychology. Yeah. So then we should know that our children need this kind of help. Keep the something going, let it, the record, let the tape recorder wear out.
Amen.
Wire the whole house.
Amen.
Yes. And if a visitor come in and he doesn't want to hear it, let him go.
Amen.
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 Amen. You are fighting a battle to drive the devil out of your walls.
Amen.
Satan won't love that house.
Amen.
If it's a house of praise.
Amen.
He can't stand it.
Amen.
Man, bless God Almighty. I know some of the brethren can holler for praise the Lord, man. You get them on a tape. Some of these convention tapes. You call Brother Colwell and somebody like that who keeps, you know what he does? Colwell take all these tapes and put them together. Yeah, and sometimes you hear some bawling, you think, well, for praise the Lord and hallelujah, keep that going there and the devil never stay there. He'll never stay there. Of course, excuse me, some of you might drive away your husband. But praise God, I suppose you'll have to know when to ease her. But this kind of thing is something that I know it works, and we have got to be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We have got to begin to walk in what we preach so that we might live. Do you know something? This just flashes to me. That Paul was never under the pressure that we were under. The apostles in the days of the apostles, the early church, wasn't under this pressure. The devils have got so much more wise. They've got wiser. They were at Pentecost and they learned everything from Pentecost, and they have come down into the church, and the devils are at the vitals of the church. God is rising up an army to destroy them. This is why we have got to have extra power. And I bless God, Jesus said, greater works than these shall ye do, for I go to my Father. Amen. And I know that Jesus is going to stay there where he is until the work is done. And the boys come home with the victory and said, Jesus, this is what we have done. Amen. Because you see, this is the very basis upon which Jesus left. He said he gave the authority to 12 little boys in the Lord. And he walked off and left a young church that if Satan had any power, he would have killed them. And Satan was so stupid, he began to kill them physically. Because that was what spread the church. The death and the blood of the saints, that was what spread the church. Amen. And he went on and went on and went on until it's out of hand. There's nothing he can do about it again. There's just nothing he can do about it again. We are going to do something about him.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Yes, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. The word of truth. What is truth? I am the truth, said the Lord. Having your loins girt with Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, when we used to ride motorcycles, we had to band our waists, a heavy band. Because miles and miles of rough roads would make it so that your back couldn't even bend when you were ready to bend. But a heavy belt around your waist would keep you. So your loins girt about with truth, keep you upright. Amen. Praise be to God. That ye may be able to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is a breastplate. Some brethren believe in going on to perfection, but they don't believe in living righteous. Righteousness is a breastplate that prevents the darts from hitting the vital organ of your heart. If your heart is exposed, you are not fit to be in any battle. Praise God. Because that is your feeling, the seat of your emotions, you will be captured. You will be killed. Your emotions must be under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's part of your soul. So what, when Satan comes and he provokes you, what he's trying to do? To stir up your emotions. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. We are men of understanding of the things of the world. And we know that when we want to stir up emotions, we know just what to do. And so it is that Satan knows exactly what to do to stir up emotions in people. And he provokes situations to stir emotions that he might win a victory. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you dare not walk right in God unless you have the proper mixture of gospel. That's the reason why Satan wants you to believe in offshoot gospel words like the restitution of all things. Because when you believe in the restitution of all things, you begin to deny God without knowing it. You begin to deny God without knowing it. You begin to say that God's word is not true, that God cannot punish, that God hasn't got the will to punish, that he will one day have to take everybody back into his fold. And you deny the very things that you preach without knowing it. Therefore, you must have the proper preparation. And most of the people I see believe in the restitution of all things. They also believe in no will. Oh, it's God. He'll do everything. God will take care. I haven't got to worry. God is there. And you know, no will. And after the no will, you find a lot of them live in adultery and fornication. I mean, I don't have to hide to say this. I know there's never a person that preaches a false doctrine who doesn't sooner or later fall into sin. So if you are in a false doctrine, come out. Because one devil brings in another. Amen. You believe me, brethren. Don't be afraid or ashamed of what I'm saying. Don't feel that I'm hitting you or anything. I've just got to see what the Spirit brings to me. And it is true, it's better you deal with the thing direct and pointed rather than go fooling around and playing around, because this is death. I have seen brothers, good friends of mine who take up this doctrine and they go from bad to worse till they divorce their wives and get another one. And it is all right because God's going to save us anyhow. It's a lying doctrine. If God's going to save me anyhow, why am I worrying? I can just coast on and do what I please, satisfy my own wretched soul, and then God will have to take me into heaven. It's a lie. That soul has to go through a process, and it's better you start now than wait till later. Amen. For some of us, there's no later. For if we lose our soul, what should it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his own soul? What would he give in exchange for his soul? And this means that you can lose your soul. Jesus himself said so, and I believe it. Yeah. Amen. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is like a shield that can be moved from one part of the body to another. Faith will defend any part of the body, even on the back, amen, which has no armament. You can just hang your shield over your shoulder. Faith can go any place. The shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The helmet covers the head, the mind. The helmet takes charge of the mind. It covers the head. And so when a man's mind is in God's salvation, he is on his way to complete deliverance. We will soon have the mind of Christ completely, and we are being delivered by the helmet of our salvation. Amen. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The only offensive weapon you have is the sword of the Spirit. The only one that can strike the enemy is the sword of the Spirit. Watch it how Jesus used it in Luke 4. When the devil said to him so and so, he said, but God said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. He was parrying with a sword, stopping the blow, offensive and defensive. The sword, that word of God you have, is the great weapon of all times. The time is coming when we shall speak the word and we see it performed out there. Amen. Hallelujah. Not that we don't do it now, but more so. Every child in God will be able to speak the word, and it is done as soon as you get deeper into the Lord. And yes, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Glory to God. Praise his name. Hallelujah. Amen. Even, closing word, even as God has a kingdom, so the devil has a kingdom. Even as God has a, Christ has a body, so the devil has a body. Even as we are members of a membered body, even so the devil has members of a multi-membered body. Even as we are training an army to go forth, so it is the devil is marshaling his forces, but they will not be able to stand against the forces of God. But this is the plan of God, that we should grow up in him to that point where we have absolute authority and power in the word of God. We have good precedents. Moses didn't have what we had tonight, yet he had so much power. Much greater it will be for you. Can you conceive having greater power than Moses? Well, God, the Bible said, speaking through Paul, the Holy Ghost said, if when Moses came out of the presence of God, his face flashed fire and radiated light, and that the children of Israel couldn't stand it, they had to cover his face with a towel to talk to him, then what greater glory shall ye manifest who are the sons of God in the end time? God bless you in Jesus' name.
This is the end of message, M.O. 29, The Workings of the Demoniac Kingdom.